All right, 1510 WMEX. Welcome to the New England Revolution post-match report. 121st minute, the Revs taking a corner, down 2-1. Kellen Rowe sends it in, and the Revs trying to cling on here as the Galaxy just a minute away now from clinching their fifth title in MLS Cup history alongside Cam Bartley and Kev Coleman. I'm Tom Quinlan. The Revs have been resilient. They fought back all night tonight. And down 1-0. Of all people, Chris Tierney equalized in the later parts past 75th minute. And the Revs had been clinging on here this entire time. Now down to 20 seconds. Robbie Keane, MVP, does what he does so best. On a breakaway, moving on, and giving the Galaxy the best opportunity to score. He puts it past Bobby Shuttleworth. AJ Soares tries to run down a long ball past to track down Jaime Pinedo. And gets past Soares. It goes out of play, and it will go out for what seems to be a goal kick. And now past the 123rd minute, it looks like LA will take home their fifth title. Again, alongside Cam Bartley and Kev Coleman, I'm Tom Quinlan. Brad Calandrello with us as well, behind the glass at 617-237-1234. Looks like Pinedo got pushed down by AJ Soares there, as we're watching on the TV here back on the East Coast. Celebration sure to ensue for the LA Galaxy, but a great game all around. If you're neutral, if you're somebody that is watching this for the first time and getting your first quote-unquote run in MLS, you were treated to a show. The third time that these teams meet in MLS Cup Finals. For two times prior, these two teams went to extra time. They're in extra time right now, so all three times that these teams have met in the finals, they've gone extra time. It's over. The LA Galaxy have won the 2014 MLS title, defeating New England Revolution 2-1. Bruce Arena, a champion once again. Great pictures on the sideline with him and Jay Heaps, an embrace and celebration. And remember, I mean, it's a history-making moment as we now say goodbye to Landon Donovan, who goes out with that Hollywood moment. Bobby Shuttleworth on the field right now, just hanging his head. We look at the winning side, the losing side. I mean, it's just a tale of two stories, and it's amazing how good this Galaxy franchise continues to grow. The fifth, as I said, again, time that they've won an MLS title. And as I welcome Cam Bartley and Kev Coleman here, Cam, I'll go to you first. I said that from a neutral's perspective, they were treated to a show. And whenever you get 120 minutes in a cup final like this, you can't ask for anything better, can't you?
No, not at all. I mean, in a sense, it was kind of a sloppy game, too, though. I won't lie. I mean, the teams were making mistakes all over the pitch.
Right.
And, of course, the biggest one was by Tierney keeping Robbie Keane on sides there, which led to the game-winning goal. Tired legs, fatigue, all setting in as a huge factor in this game. So hats off to the Revs and the Galaxy. Revs played their hearts out today, but losing Lee Nguyen in, what, around the 70th minute, too, right, to cramps, that's just all that kind of killed it there for the offensive momentum for us, too. So, I mean, you just see Charlie Davies crying right now. That's really just hard to see.
And you look at Charlie Davies, a guy that fought so hard to get back to this moment, a guy that was resilient and never gave up. And when the cards were decked against him, he showed incredible fortitude, and a guy that really built his MLS playoff profile this winter has nothing to be ashamed of. Nobody on this Revs team has anything to be ashamed of. You go up against a very good LA team. We said it all year long on New England Soccer Weekly, on the podcast, which you can follow us at Podcast Invaders. The West was by far the superior conference among the two this year. The Galaxy were the best team for the reason. The Revs were just the most resilient bunch. And on that day, they couldn't get it done. And it's a tough pill to swallow. This is the fifth time you've gotten to this plateau now. New group of guys. But still, Kev, this team can't get it done on the final stage.
It's really hard to see. It really is tough. After, you know, the broadcast, you know, they mentioned how the Revs were, you know, back in July. I know we went to games and, you know, we had no doubt that this team wasn't going to go to the playoffs. And, you know, we were sitting there thinking, you know, just back in July, there's no way we thought this team would end up in the MLS Cup and going to extra time with the LA Galaxy. And Tom, you said it best, the West was the far more superior conference this year, but the team wise, and the Galaxy just, I mean, hats off to them. They, you know, they scored at the right time. Of course, the MVP, right. Robbie Keane, you know, Cam mentioned, you know, sloppy play, and, you know, Tierney, you know, he got caught, and, you know, the MLS MVP will, you know, he'll take advantage of that. Right. So
617-237-1234 is the number to call if you want to sound off. 2-1 the final score. Once again, the LA Galaxy winning their fifth title in franchise history. 19 years the league has been around. It's quite amazing. These are probably two historic teams that have been to this moment the most. The Revs, no team has been to, other than LA, no team has been to the finals more than New England. No team sure has been to the finals more than New England. It's failed to succeed. So this is another tough one to swallow for the region today. Giassi Zardes opened up the scoring in the 52nd minute after we left the first half drawn at nil. Chris Tierney, though, of all people to shore up a game and tie it up, the Wellesley native gets it done in the 79th minute. And at that point, I want to just bring in, before we go any further, why that moment was so important and so big. First off, it was after Lee Wynn was taken off for Patrick Mullins, and there was a lot of questions around how Jay Heaps managed this game. And for all things considered, going up against a guy in Bruce Arena who's accomplished, who's won it on the NCAA level, who's won it now multiple times on the MLS level, Jay did a great job in holding himself up strong today and not allowing Bruce Arena to outmanage him. So I would say that when Mullins came on for Wynn, we questioned it at the time, but in the end, I'll tell you what, the Herman Mack Trophy Award winner and a guy that was a first-round draft pick in the 2014 MLS Super Draft really made his value go through the roof because he just turned the game on a dime today. He didn't look like a rookie. He looked like a veteran. And he replaced an MVP candidate, Lee Wynn. And, I mean, he just did so many good things. And
I think for Charlie it was.
Oh, excuse me. It was. Yes, it was Charlie. Swap. It was Andy Dorman that came on for Lee Wynn in the 91st minute. Yeah. So, excuse me. Lee Wynn was on when the goal happened. Thank you, Cam. Yeah. Patrick Mullins came on for Charlie Davies, which we were still questioning, because why do you take out Charlie Davies, the guy who had four goals in the playoffs? He had an assist. He was clearly the Revs' offense all playoff and all fall long. He turned this whole offensive structure around with Jermaine Jones, and you take him off for a rookie in Patrick Mullins, and Patrick Mullins affects the game positively and helps the Revs equalize.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just another a great sign for our young draft pick that we picked up. And Coach Jay Heaps asked him to step up in a huge scenario.
Did it.
And he did it. He did it. He created that opportunity for Tierney. It was a nice cutback, and he was able to get to the byline too. And I mean, you said it, a guy who scored, what, four goals in his first five starts and then didn't score for the rest of the season comes on, and I'm sitting there, I was like, why would you take off Charlie? Why? He's been working hard. His time will come, but it turns out they needed fresh legs. Today, the fatigue was a huge factor. I'm not sure if it was the weather that they weren't accustomed to or something, but it really took a toll on the Revs players today.
617-237-1234. We're going to be on until 7 o'clock here tonight on 1510 WMEX. It's the Papagayos New England Revolution post-match report, and we're looking at the Revs receiving their medals right now, their second-place medals, and again, this is nothing to be ashamed of, this New England Revolution team who has come so far in just proving themselves wrong, proving this area wrong, garnering the attention that they did, and making the sport more important around this area. And you have to give a lot of I give it up to Jay and all those guys for working as hard as they did. They finished the year 17-14-4 overall. Excuse me, that's 17-13-4 was their regular season record. They were 20-13-4 if you include the playoffs. Now 20-14-4 after today's loss. And I think that says a lot right there about this team, guys. And we'll start right there, and we'll stay with the numbers that Jay Heaps has been able to generate here. 20 wins total for the New England Revolution this season. And regardless of what Jermaine Jones has added or not added to this team, you have to be impressed with the overall foundation that was able to get this team to the finals.
And I think Kellen Rowe, me personally, I think he grew a lot over the season. I think he, he started off slow, and I think he really made himself. He built up his resume this year. He's a good player. Chris Tierney as well. Chris Tierney has been on this team for so long, but his services have been stellar. We've been talking about it all season, how great his services are in the box, his free kicks. So those two guys, and it's a good sign for the Revs. These young guys, homegrown too, are playing well. It is tough to swallow this loss, but because I think the Revs really did deserve it. They needed more time.
You got to give it up for Landon Donovan as well, who, the story has been written. The Donovan decade of success has finally been signed, sealed, and delivered. He's won with David Beckham. He's won with Robbie Keane multiple times. This guy has closed out his career on a high that he would have wanted. Four-time MLS Cup champion with the LA Galaxy, two-time champion with the San Jose Earthquakes. And, the accomplishments, the list of individual accomplishments go on and on for Landon Donovan, who played his final game, you would have to imagine, of soccer today and ever, because he went out on the high note that he would have wanted, a championship note. It can't get any better than this. He was U.S. Soccer's Young Athlete of the Year in 2000, U.S. Soccer's Athlete of the Year in 2003, 2004, 2009, and 2010. FIFA World Cup Best Young Player of the Tournament in 2002, MLS Cup MVP in 2003 and 2011. We have to imagine that he's going to be announced as MLS Cup's MVP in 2014. Even though that Robbie Keane had the goal, I would have to say that Donovan, with the performance that he had over the course of this playoffs, he deserved it. He was MLS's also the league MVP in 2009. He's an accomplished soccer player. I have said a lot of things about Landon Donovan over the years, before broadcasting on the air through this year. I've said a lot that maybe it wasn't his time, and maybe this was all just one big fairy tale that was waiting to be broken, but they follow through. The LA Galaxy do, and you have to give a lot of credit to Landon Donovan and the rest of the crew that got them here. It's not just Donovan that got the Galaxy to this point. You look at Janino that played a huge part in that midfield today, slowing down Lee Wynn. Janino and Marcelo Sarvis, they prove that being just strong, solid holding midfielders, just having that paid off so much for Bruce Arena, because you slowed down the Kellen Rowe, you slowed down the wing play of the Revolution, which is what has made them such a good team offensively all year. You shut down Lee Wynn, who was forced to come off with just fatigued legs, and the Galaxy forced the Revolution out of their element, which is something I would say that Columbus wasn't able to do, and New York wasn't able to do, and LA was able to. And I think New York had a little bit of an edge on New England at points in the second leg of that series, where you saw flashes of what LA was able to do today, but LA just completely exposed New England, and the inexperience of playing in a big game like this came to hurt the Revs.
Yeah.
And now I'm not going to say that Jermaine Jones, could have turned this game on a dime. I'm not going to, throw this on one guy. This is a collective team effort. And to be honest, if you really want to look at somewhere to pinpoint the blame, it's the defense of the Revolution. Mm-hmm. This is the biggest thing we focused on yesterday on New England Soccer Weekly, all week on the podcasts. The defense of the New England Revolution was going to make or break this game, and it broke it.
Yeah. And they exposed the Revs' defense. That was the huge key thing. They caught Tierney offside.
Out of position on that Robbie Keane goal, yeah.
And I think that was a key thing. Obviously, Zardes, terrible defending by Farrell, I thought, on the first goal by Zardes, but Revs' defense was a little shaky today. We mentioned it during the game. AJ Soares and Andrew Farrell were bickering at each other all game.
Yeah. They couldn't find an answer for Zardes
right.
or Keane at
right.
all.
And Donovan, yeah.
Yeah, and I also want to also mention the other point is that LA Galaxy might have hands down had the best defense all year long. yeah. with the likes of Omar Gonzalez and A.J. De La Garza, who had a fantastic tackle in the first half to probably stop a goal that Charlie Davies was about to score. That play was huge. That was the one chance the Revs got in the first half. And the likes of Omar and A.J. De La Garza have been doing it all year long. And what do people say? Defense wins championships. And as we watch L.A. lift the cup, Omar Gonzalez right now, just they defended better, and it led to them playing overall better.
Absolutely.
It bettered their midfield, which I thought was what the Revolution was going to take over all game. Granted, I think they did lead in possession stats this game, right? Am I right? I think they did lead in possession stats.
I'm checking that right now.
Well, at least in the first half, it was 53-47 in favor of New England.
Right.
So
New England actually had a pretty good grip on the game at points in that first half. It finished actually 56-43 New England.
Yeah, and I mean, it just comes down to who defended better,
They
LA.
Sat back well enough.
Yeah, yeah. L.A., they didn't do anything fancy on defense.
And they allowed the perfect amount of pressure to come from New England.
Yeah, and they just kept him in front. Lee Nguyen was not a factor. Every time Lee got the ball, he was doubled.
Right.
And that was huge. I also wanted to, I'm also kind of like looking back, and I was wondering if, would Diego have made an impact? I don't know. Like, granted, he hasn't played in so long, but when Lee Nguyen comes off and you insert Dorman and now you have Dorman, Daigo, like, I wanted to see Kellen Rowe float more into the mid center, and I think he did a bit, but.
And we also mentioned we wanted to see Tierney go up more.
Yeah.
He wanted to stretch up top more, but they also, Galaxy and the Revs both had same amount of shots on net. Both had 16 shots today, six of them were both. Both teams, 6 shots on net. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I think, got to give your, tip your cap to Jay. I mean, that put it in Mullins was huge.
Yeah.
And that really, Tom, you mentioned it, really just impacted the game. And he almost had a goal.
Yeah.
He had a great opportunity off his left foot. A good save by Pinedo, but, they really had their chances today.
617-237-1234. We'll take a break. When we come on back, hopefully we'll have the thoughts of Carl Sutherland, who's out in L.A., Soccer by Ivis reporter, and also your thoughts as well. So give us a call. Tune on in. The Galaxy win the MLS Cup for the fifth time in franchise history. 617-237-1234. We're back with more after this. All right, 1510 WMEX. Welcome back to the New England Revolution post-match report presented by Papagayo's Mexican Kitchen and Tequila Bar. Be sure to visit one of their 4 locations across the Metro Boston area today. And check out our friends at 331 Great River Road in Somerville's Assembly Row. PapagayoBoston.com. That's P-A-P-A-G-A-Y-O Boston.com. Well, for the fifth time in franchise history, the LA Galaxy hoist MLS trophies, celebrating a league championship and a well-deserved close chapter on the career of Landon Donovan, goes out on a high note. And I thought, again, I said at the top of the show, and I'll say it throughout the rest of the night, you cannot top the way this game finished tonight if you're a neutral. I mean, it was down to the wire, 120 minutes of great soccer. Jay Heaps in his first MLS Cup as a coach, fourth as a player, really showed why he's in the position that he's in today. And I think you've got to look at the future of the Revs being in good hands under Bolello, Burns, Heaps, Scales, Remy Roy, all those guys that are running it over there. They're set. They're good. It's just unfortunate that for the fifth time in franchise history, this team cannot get it done on the big stage. So let's go. 617-237-1234. Open up the phone lines right now. We've got our friend Nico in California. Nico, what's going on? Hold on 1 second, Nico. Stay right there with us. Nico, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's going on, Nico?
What's going on, Tom? How you doing?
We're doing good tonight, Nico. How you doing? Are you a Rev supporter, or are you calling us as a Galaxy supporter this evening?
Oh, I'm an absolute Rev supporter. You know, this year, I've been really impressed by the way Revolution's been playing. And, this game, you know, just goes to show that the Revolution is an organization not to be reckoned with. You know, next season they're really going to come out on top, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they really set themselves in a good position. You have Jermaine Jones. Now, let me explain what the contract of Jermaine Jones is for a second, and stay on the line with us, Nico. Just stay right there with us. The thing that you have to be encouraged by if you're a Revs fan is that this guy's not going anywhere another year. He's got a year and 6 month contract signed in which he keeps him with the Revs until the end of next season of 2015. So you have pieces to build around now. And the one thing that you were should also be encouraged by tonight is that his age is not wearing on him. I thought the fact that you had Lee Wynn get wear down and Charlie Davies have to get taken off, and guys that have been key contributors to this team all season long, the fact that they had to be taken off in a big moment like tonight, and a 33-year-old Jermaine Jones steps up and plays in the big role that he does, I'm encouraged. I feel good about the state of how Jermaine is playing, but you have to continue to build, put pieces around him. I agree that they're a franchise to be reckoned with now, but you have to continue on the momentum that you built when you signed Jermaine Jones in late August.
Yeah, you know, having that acquisition of Jermaine Jones in the offseason, you know, you couldn't have put it any better, is that, you know, structuring around, like, you know, that one player. But, you know, again, as you guys were saying in the podcast, you know, not relying on that one player and, you know, structuring into, you know, one big, you know, great team, you know, where everyone is contributing. And, you know, as everyone was saying also tonight, like Terry also, he was having a great game tonight.
Who was having a great game again?
It's Tierney, right?
Oh, yeah, Tierney, absolutely. You know, it's, you know, again, a bad moment for Chris Tierney to get caught out of position right there because...
Oh, my gosh.
He played so good tonight. His speed was very good on the wings. I thought, you know, maybe you could have advanced him up into a higher position a little bit earlier if you're Jay Heaps, but overall, Chris Tierney did his job tonight.
Yeah, you know, it's, again, like the only thing that lacked was just, you know, defense. You know, the Galaxy, you know, exposed that and, you know, took advantage on every counter that they were able to get. You know, that's how Keane was able to, you know, score that last goal. And so, you know, that I think basically, you know, by next season too is once we get a even better defense, like,
right,
you know, every single game will, you know, be competitive and, you know, hopefully the Revs will be able to come out on top. So I can't wait for next season.
Nico,
and, you know, as you guys were saying, is that also they brought so much more to, you know, also Boston, too, you know, making sure, like, you know, getting that gathering, you know, as last week, too, you know, winning that big game against New York and everything, you know, and it gives a lot of people more pride and more looking forward to next season. So I can't wait.
Nico, thank you so much for the call, brother, and thank you very much for tuning in this evening to the pod and everything. All right, brother, be good.
Yep. Pleasure listening to you guys. All right.
Thanks, Nico.
617-237-1234. I thought Nico hit it on the head that, you know, from a franchise standpoint, from an organizational standpoint, the Revs have positioned themselves very good. And we're going to talk more about the LA Galaxy. Don't worry, we're not turning them off. We're not disregarding what they did here tonight, winning their fifth franchise title in history on a 19th year of the MLS. It's absolutely incredible how successful this franchise has been able to be and how many times they keep on reaching this plateau and this pinnacle. But the defense is really going to have to be the main focus to come the offseason. What do you do with two guys? I want to know what you do with. I want to know what you do with AJ Soares, and I want to know what you do with Jose Gonçalves, because I feel like their careers are going in two very different directions right now.
Yeah.
And Jose is not a guy that I might not protect. Come Monday morning, tomorrow morning, when Revs are back here, you're back to business, and you have to prepare for the expansion draft, and there's guys that you protect and you don't protect, AJ Soares is a guy I'm protecting. I don't know if I'm going to dish the cash to protect a guy like Jose Gonçalves.
Yeah, I mean, he was exposed against New York by Tim Cahill.
Yep. Exposed all afternoon today.
Yeah, exposed all afternoon today by the likes of Landon, Giassi, and Keane, who didn't play their best games. It was a very sloppy game. Yeah, and I mean, and one thing that Nico brought up, too, is the fact that the Revs got countered on, too, is something that they weren't very used to when playing a team like L.A. or in New York. They're more used to they're better off on the counter sometimes, and that just comes from defending, and it starts right at Jose Goncalves. I think next year we need to name Jermaine Jones as our captain.
Yep.
We need to pass the armband to him.
Yep.
And Jose will be gone. I really think he will be, because this year you see signs of greatness. You see signs where, oh, that's Defender of the Year last year, but then it's just not consistent enough. And I think AJ was way more consistent.
Let me ask you boys a question. Who replaces Jose?
You go out in the market. You go either go out in the market.
That's my second question. Do you get someone in the draft, or do you go out and buy someone?
I think both. I would bulk up on defenders. Yeah.
I agree.
I don't know if I would necessarily dish out designated player money for a center back, because the quality of defenders in an American talent pool, it's good. It's not fantastic. It's not to the likes of what the Germans got. But we've got guys that you could take off the street, like a Matt Beisler, and you put him in there with an experienced guy like an Orlin Collin, and it works. Now, AJ Source could be that guy. Put him next to somebody that you can get in the expansion draft that has the experience. Now, if you have to go out there and dish out the cash for a designated player, do it. But here's where I want the designated player money to come in. If the Revs are to continue down this track of going out and get designated players, get guys that are going to come in and continue to build the identity of your team. You know, the reason why this Jermaine Jones thing worked out so well is because the Revs were able to generate an identity with it. And you sound off with us at 617-237-1234. Because of what Jones did in the end of August, recreating the identity, giving them a new meaning of what it means to play in the center of the park at Gillette Stadium, that is what have made the Revs so good. Because they had the identity of a guy that did not take any nonsense, played with a certain style of aggression, and he made the players around him better. Mm-hmm. Now I think you need that for somebody up top. Now you have Lee. Now what do you do with Lee? What happens with Lee at the end of the year? Do you sell him off to Southampton or Fulham or any of these English Premier League teams that want him right now, or championship teams? Fulham's in the championship. I got to recognize him in the championship.
Hopefully they'll be back up.
You know what I mean? There are options that you have to weigh right now. This is going to be a very strenuous offseason for the New England Revolution. You have guys that are going to go into the expansion draft that you have to figure out what you're going to do with. You have guys that you got to figure out how to bring in. You know, the one thing that is I figured it out. The one reason why the Revs have been able to get back to the playoffs in back-to-back years, it's not the mid-season signing moves that got them there. Juan Agudelo is what got the Revs to the playoffs in 2013. Jermaine Jones is what got the Revs to the playoffs in 2014. On the surface, that's what the people say. When you look at it, the Revs had the depth to go into those deep playoff runs. You think about what Andy Dorman's role meant for this team last year and how his team quickly changed this year because Scott Caldwell's role shot through the roof. Didn't have the greatest of games, Scott Caldwell's either, unfortunately. But that's the balance you've got to figure out if you're the Revs. We have guys that we can keep, but we also need to improve in certain areas. Teal Bunbury's a guy that probably won't be on the Revs roster come next year. Great player, did a lot of exceptional things for the team, but can you improve in that area?
He's replaceable. And even I think the development of Diego, hopefully he can have
he's got Diego's got to have a quick turnaround.
They could get rid of him and try and lure something.
But you know what? You could have used. Imagine how good he could have been tonight had Diego come on, and you were able. And I think it's purely based on experience.
Yeah.
Who'd you put in there as your last sub? Put in Andy Dorman over for Lee Wynn. You didn't put in Diego. Well, why'd you put in Dorman? Dorman played in the last MLS Cup final. Mm-hmm. Dorman knows what it's like to be on this stage. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying Diego couldn't have done it, but it's the immaturity and the inexperience of Diego that left him off. And I'll tell you right now, that's going to be a talking point. I know there are people out there that want to know why Diego was left off today. I think Diego wants to know probably why he wasn't out there.
I think it's the inconsistency as
well. I agree, too. I think it's the inconsistency. You're a kid.
He didn't do it throughout the year, and that's why he just lost faith in him. And I think that's why Diego's going to have a huge make-or-break year, make-or-break preseason this upcoming season.
And you also got to wonder how his morale is.
Yeah.
You know, his morale is probably very low.
Yeah.
And you got to wonder how the relationship is between him and Jay.
I mean, I think hopefully they can just have a clean slate by the time next season's
right.
And I still think Diego learned so much from watching this team go all the way to the MLS Cup. Now he knows that level that he needs to get to.
It's his team to have, but he needs to, like you said, he needs to have a stellar offseason, you know,
mature as a man too.
Absolutely.
He's what, 19? I'm not worried with him. He's a project. He is a project.
I'm looking at the Twitter boards right now. Curtis Larson of the Toronto Sun, who's a frequent guest on this show, said he thought that Lee Wynn should have been awarded a penalty. And I agree so. Yeah. I think Lee Wynn was screwed over. I think Lee Wynn got himself into a very good position. Now, I think I like what Taylor Twellman had to say on the broadcast as well. Not that in real time that it wasn't a penalty, because in real time I thought it was a penalty, but that Lee Wynn should have had a rip earlier. And I think, Cam, it's something that you and I were talking about.
You got to shoot when you have the ball in the 18.
You got to have the shoot when you have the ball in the 18. And the refs held on to the ball tonight, and they were trying to get way too creative.
Yeah, and I think Lee's been guilty of that many times. He scores these gorgeous goals where he dribbles two defenders inside the 18, dances, and puts one in the corner. But I'm sorry, but with the amount of chances that you got today and the amount of chances that you know you're going to get, which were limited, you just got to swing your left foot through that ball and make sure it goes in the net. Look at a guy like Teal Bunbury who did it outside the 18 in New York. And it's just, you got to take your opportunities when you see them. And it's disappointing. It stinks for Lee to end like that after a marvelous season. But I mean, going back to the penalty call, yeah, right. It could be a penalty, but then there's also that other call that they refused to call for Robbie Keane where he goes down in the box after a collision too. So the referee was, we mentioned it as well, he was very solid. He called a fair game today. So no complaints for the referee.
Mark Hager.
Yeah. So, I mean, you could go both ways. Yeah. But, like, that's the biggest chance of the game right there. That has you up 1-0.
Yep.
And that's the goal that scored, and then 5 minutes later they go down back to pitch, and you see Giassi Zardes takes his opportunity inside the 18.
Giassi Zardes, a streaky player, a guy that had not had the consistency at the end of the year as he did in the middle of the year where he got so hot and created the name Giassi Zardes. It's a tough day for Revolution fans. Once again, you get to this point, you get to this pinnacle, fifth time in franchise history that you get to this game and you can't get it done. It's the third time against the LA Galaxy. And again, just the ghost of MLS Cup past just won't go away.
Just won't go away.
It's a curse.
Is this team cursed?
Is Jay Heaps?
Is this team cursed? Can we, I mean, they're the Buffalo Bills right now of MLS. I mean, I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm not really trying. I'm trying to be as serious as possible with this right now. They are the Buffalo Bills of MLS. They've gotten to the championship game numerous times from 2000. What was it? 2003 to 2005. Yeah. They went to the MLS Cup Finals in three straight years.
Yeah, it was.
They're the Buffalo Bills of MLS
06,
Cup.
07, yeah. They went to the three straight years, losing in extra time.
And you know what? You kind of had that feeling, especially in the second half. In the first 20 minutes, it was all Galaxy.
Yeah, and I mean, the first minute, I mean, yeah. Bobby, if not for Scott Caldwell making a clearance off the line,
right.
The Revs are down 1-0, and, you know, we're talking about maybe the Revs losing 90 minutes instead of 120 minutes.
Right, and I thought, you know, in the second half, I thought they took over. I thought the whole momentum was all Revolution, and especially, you know, in extra time, you kind of had that feeling that a goal is coming. It's gonna show. And, I mean, unfortunately, they had a lot of chances. You know, we mentioned Patrick Mullins had a good shot with his left foot. And, you know, Andrew Farrell had a great opportunity. I think, you know, me and Cam talked about it. You got to play that in the middle. Otherwise, strike low.
Yeah, because Andrew Farrell had a ball that was played to him. It was, if you go back and watch the game film, he was in a scoring opportunity. And Farrell, in typical Andrew Farrell fashion, he charges down the field, has an overlapping run. We expect to either cross or something that would be more challenging for Pinedo. Neither is the case. And, I mean, it's just, you're gutted because, I mean, that's a first-round, first pick right there. Yep. You should know.
That's just
I mean, that's a guy that I'm expecting to be on the U.S. men's national team.
That's just that little IQ that he needs to develop as he becomes an older player and as he matures.
Right.
Right back and left back are two of the most attacking positions for defenders. They get up the flank so quickly, and you need to know what to do in those scenarios. And Kevin nails it on the head, low and hard, across the six. Those are your two options, and he just gets too jittery in the 18, I feel. He doesn't know what to do with it. He overthinks it, and he blasts it over.
Ryan in Rhode Island, you said? Ryan in Rhode Island, 617-237-1234. You're on the post-match report. Thank you for calling.
Hey, how's it going?
You know what? It's not going too bad. How's your Sunday going?
My Sunday's going pretty good. You know, I actually, this is the first soccer game I ever watched, and, you know, I was getting into it for a little while, and personally, I couldn't care either way who won, but I enjoyed watching it, and I called in because you made a sort of half-joking comment about the team being cursed, and I think, honestly, the big part of the problem is that it's the ownership group, and I know, you know, they did all sorts of things in August. They went out and got Jermaine Jones in spite of the nonsense with a blind draw, but
sure.
They're not doing enough to actually engage the fan base. You know, most of the fans that actually, like, travel down there are fans in spite of the ownership rather than because of anything they're doing. And, I mean, just the fact that this is the third station out of three, you know, with the Sports Hub in the morning and then the actual game being on one station, and now this is the third station that the Revolution talk has basically been bounced around. You listen to Sports Talk tomorrow morning, nobody's going to be talking about it, and for that reason, I don't think the team's ever going to win because it's hard to entice people to play in a market where the fan base is so disconnected, disaffected, and frankly checked out. And I'm not holding that against the people who are calling into the program, and I'm not holding it against the genuine fans, but there's a lot more people out there who barely even know there's a soccer team here.
Ryan, let me give you something real quick. First off, we'll be talking about the Revs on Tuesday. When you follow me on Twitter at Podcast Invaders, we'll have you all Rev coverage all through the offseason. We'll be doing MLS Super Draft coverage. We'll be taking you through the Diamond Desert Cup Classic down there in Arizona. And we'll be right here when the first kick starts in 2015. I can guarantee you that we ain't going anywhere. Secondly, on the Crafts point that you made there, I completely agree that there was a time and a place where everybody had the right to come at the Crafts. People don't have that right anymore. And thank you very much for the call there, Ryan. And here's why. Revs fans applauded Bob and John Kraft here tonight. Revs fans don't look at the Kraft family. True diehard Revs fans know that the Kraft family did what they needed to do to break the ice and move on and breaking in that fan base here in New England. They've done a better job. You have to give them credit. I agree completely. You cannot get complacent because there is nothing worse than complacency. Ask Manchester City fans. But you have to appreciate and applaud the pure passion injected by the Kraft family into this game. Listen, I heard Michael Felger and John Kraft talking about it on 98.5. This week, John Kraft goes to 90% of the home games if he can. So don't tell me that he's not going to be there. He's not, and I'll be the first one to stand up on this hill and wave the Kraft flag because they're doing the job right now. Listen, there is a system. There is a way to build this thing. You cannot just, you can't do what LA has done. LA was doing this for, had a foundation, they had the right players, and they splashed the cash at the right time. If Donovan's been in LA for years now. Landon Donovan made himself over time in LA. You know, it's not like LA went out and bought that guy, per se. Yes, he came over from Everton. Yes, he came over in a specific deal. But the point is, it was built properly, LA. They pounced at the right time for a designated player, and they were able to just win and make themselves what they are today, and that's MLS's best franchise. If you look at what the Revs are, though, and you want to bash the Crafts, Ryan from Rhode Island, look at what this team has done over a 19-year period. Behind the Galaxy, we just said it. There is no team that has been to MLS Cup Final more than the New England Revolution. Five trips now. Out of six for the LA Galaxy, where they've won five. Or seven, I think, actually. Excuse me. So, I don't know when you say the Crafts don't care, or it's the ownership that it prevents this team from winning. I don't know what you're talking about. Woody Johnson and the Jets? Because that's not what this family is. They're not losers. That's for sure. They're going to find a way to win this thing. Eventually, one day, they're going to crack the seal. We'll be here. But for the fifth time in league history, the Revs go to MLS Cup Final. And for the third time in history, lose to the LA Galaxy 2-1. If you want to sound off, it's 617-237-1234. We'll take your calls next. All right, 1510 WMEX, final 9 minutes left here on the final postgame show 2014 for the New England Revolution, presented by Papagayo's Mexican Kitchen and Tequila Bar. Again, visit one of their four locations across the Metro Boston area today and visit our friends at Somerville's 331 Great River Road on Assembly Row, PapagayoBoston.com. That's PapagayoBoston.com. I'm Tom Quinlan, Cam Bartley, Kev Coleman with me as well. Brad Calandrella on the ones and twos, producing it live for you, and the number is 617-237-1234. Brad, we've been watching it in the studio, and it's been a great season long all year for the New England Revolution. It's tough that they couldn't pull this one out here tonight.
It's been an unbelievable season. You know, this is my first season actually being a Revs fan and a soccer fan, and I will tell you what, I am hooked now.
Yeah.
This team really hooked me in, you know, just from doing the New England Soccer Weekly shows.
Right.
Listening to your guys' podcast and then doing the post-game shows, I am all in for next season. And then Cam, I think it's Cam, he brought up a solid
Justin
point.
Timberlake Jr.
Yeah. Maybe, you know, maybe the campaign should be for the next season to reverse the curse. It happened here before the last time.
Hey.
They got to do it again the next time, you know? They should be their slogan all year long.
You got to reverse it. You got to win that game. It's a LA Galaxy, too, that you got to beat. This is the biggest nemesis for this team in the MLS Cup final. These two teams met twice before tonight, three times now, and in all three games it went to extra time. Twice before it was 1-0, the LA Galaxy defeated the Revolution. Obviously tonight, 2-1 the final score. The Galaxy, MLS title winners over New England. And I think Brad sums it up perfectly there. Even though the Revs lose a heartbreaker of a game to the LA Galaxy here tonight in extra time, you have to be proud of the way this thing has grown this year. You're a baseball fan, Brad. You don't give a damn about soccer before this year.
I didn't give a rat's about soccer until this show was started.
Thank you. First off, you're too kind. The check's in the mail. I'll be sending it to your house.
All right. 2 months late.
But that it embodies just a body. It embodies a collective unit of thought of that, like these of people that just really. They came together to care this year, and it just shows that, again, and I said this yesterday on New England Soccer Weekly, this is not something where we're going to fill out Gillette Stadium with 60,000-plus people. That's fine if we're not there at that point. But there are 30,000 people that will come out and watch the New England Revolution when they're playing in a big game. On average, next year, there'll be 20,000-plus to come out to see this team. You have Jermaine, you have Lee, you have the future of this league, and Kellen, Scott, Andrew, Diego, Teal, Charlie, and even Pat and Steve. You have the pieces in place, and it's something that I just said with Ryan from Rhode Island just now. You have to capitalize on this and continue to grow it. I'm going to go out there for the next 6 months, and I'm going to defend the Kraft family for anybody that wants to go out there and say they don't care, because right now, they care. They give a damn. Let me tell you, the needle has been pushed for soccer in New England and Boston. And we have seen change that has come overnight that we thought was going to take 10 years. So let me tell you right now that when Monday morning at 9 a.m. hits, 98.5, 93.7, might not be talking about the Revs, but we still will. Because there is something to be had next year. Like Brad just said, maybe the campaign should be something along the lines of reverse the curse. Because this is the time where it's, now you make a name for yourself. You've been in this thing five times. The Galaxy have had your number now three times. Win it for a change now. You're so close, and you have the right coach to do it, too. Don't get me started on Jay Heaps. I know there are people out there that don't give a damn about Jay, but trust me, Jay deserves that job. Mm-hmm. Who we got in the back there? We got anybody on? Nope. All right, 617-237-1234.
And, Tom, I just think we're two, three pieces away. Right. Literally just get a solid attacker to fill in a role with Charlie and Patrick. And then just find a solid defender.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is getting a center back that's solid.
Center back.
And that can work with AJ as well.
Yeah. And I also wondered if we can possibly start pushing Chris Tierney up the pitch more.
Right.
And getting more, like, left backs. Honestly, Alston could have been inserted into the lineup today.
Barnes.
Well, yeah, Barnes kind of faded off at the end of the year. But Alston's a great defender.
Yeah.
And he's a piece, too, that could be utilized. But it's going to be very interesting to see where these guys end up in this offseason. And I think Jose Gonsalves, Tom, you bring up a huge point with him.
I just don't think you pay the money for him. I don't think he's worth it.
No. And I think you can honestly put Jermaine Jones at center back and have a better center back at him. Put Jermaine back there.
All right, a couple more minutes here. Let's take a call. John in Pennsylvania, you're on the line. John, how are you?
Good, thanks, Tom. Two things. Actually, first, I want to thank you for putting on this show this year. It's, you know, and to the previous caller's lament about, you know, lack of consistent radio media, you've been there after all these games, and it's, you know, that's the kind of groundswell that starts to build interest in the team. And I want to reinforce what you said about the crafts. There's a lot of owners in sports all over the nation going around with their hands out trying to get a hold of taxpayer money to finance stadiums, and they haven't done that. And they were there when MLS was going through some really rough years, and it's easy to say now that, you know, they should be given more, but they've already given, I think, more than they're due, and we should show some appreciation. But the other thing I just want to say is Dan Shaughnessy is on Twitter tonight saying, "Silver lining of Revs' loss is that now we don't have to pretend they are relevant. Nice try by the Revs, but we are a four-team town." And I'd like to get your thoughts, but my thoughts is on Dan is that, you know, that's a legacy attitude from legacy media. The guy's a dinosaur, and he's clinging to relevance himself. So I'll hang up and listen to what you have to say, Tom.
John, first off, thank you so much for those kind words, man. You couldn't have been any nicer. That was very, very genuine of you, and I really do appreciate it. We do it for you guys, this show, and we know that there is a large contingency of people out there that give a damn about this sport, and we're not going anywhere. We're not going to stop. And let me tell you right now, Dan Shaughnessy, again, I have a lot of respect for you. You've built up a hell of a career, and you've done a lot of good things in this town. But right now, you need to understand that there is a sport in the world of your life that you're going to have to accept. You're going to have your column move to the back pages for the Revs eventually. And the Red Sox will become a distant memory once the Revs start winning just like the Red Sox do. Because go back and ask what your colleague had to say back in June when they asked what type of sports town this is. Dan, this isn't a baseball town like you'd like to think. This isn't a football town. This isn't a basketball town. It's barely a hockey town. This is a winner's town. And the winners played on an MLS Cup final stage today. The Patriots haven't played in a Super Bowl since 2011. The Bruins haven't won a title since 2011. They were betting the championships in 2000 and what, 13, 12? 2012. 2013.
Yeah.
Celtics haven't been in anything since 09, and they're not going to be anything in the near future. Trust me. If you're listening tonight for the first time, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you're back with us on Tuesday when we're talking about this thing for the offseason and getting you ready for March. Cam and Kev, thank you so much, boys.
Hey, no, Tom. It's been a great season.
It's been an awesome season.
Thank you.
It's been a ride.
Brad, thanks, buddy.
Hey, guys, anytime.
All right, so again, it might be today we say goodbye, but it's not over for long. March comes very quickly, folks. The Revs lose tonight to the LA Galaxy 2-1. The Galaxy are MLS champions for the fifth time in MLS history. The Galaxy send off Landon Donovan into the high notes, but it's the way that it was meant to be, I guess. I'm Tom Quinlan. Thank you to everybody who's made this postgame show possible all year long. We'll be back in March. The beginning of soccer has started a revolution. We're just getting started. We'll see you next season.